phone calls earlier about what we're going to be doing this week, what's going to happen, what's going to take place, and a pastor died over at Green Valley, and Rob had made some plans to go over there and be with that church and send Mike over to preach a night or two so they could fill in for that pastor. And then we get another phone call a little bit later that all the plans have changed, and that has to deal with Donna coming up with COVID. So Donna's got COVID. Rob's going to be quarantined for 10 days. And I just got another phone, or another lady told me when she come in the church a while ago that Tony Carter, that gave his testimony Sunday night, is also going to be tested in the morning. They sent him home from work thinking that he may have it. So we've got several people in our church tonight that we need to be praying for healing. And that's we're going to have the opportunity to do that here in just a little bit. And I was flipping back and forth, deciding what I was going to preach tonight, and couldn't make a good decision yesterday, and there just wasn't much clarity from the Holy Spirit, and I was praying, Lord, what will you have me share? And then I seen a little news story on the news this morning, which really convicted me a little bit more towards the fact that we need to be praying for our teachers and our kids that are getting ready to go back to school. Some have already started. But as we start to refocus back on finding Jesus in the Old Testament, in every book of the Bible, we start looking at the life of Nehemiah, and I was reminded how it parallels Jesus' life. And we're going to get started back in finding Jesus in every book of the Bible next week, and we'll be starting right there in Nehemiah. But Rob preached a sermon not too long ago, May 23rd, Sunday evening. It was on Nehemiah, and it was out of the first passage of Nehemiah. And if you remember Tony's testimony, you heard that he talked about some of what was in that sermon. And I would like to reiterate some of those words tonight. And because we're a problem people, is how Rob started off his message, we need to be burdened believers, and we need to be supplicating saints, and we need to be volunteering vessels. And if you remember Tony's testimony, it had those last two points, the supplicating saint and the voluntary vessel. And that's what he had decided that he needed to become after hearing that sermon. Now, with these things in mind tonight, we have an opportunity to pray over our teachers and our support staffs and our kids. And we have several teachers and support staff. Laura and Don are both teachers. She's also a support staff. John Yoder's one of our support people. Jennifer Hocut's a teacher. Trenton and Marissa. Trenton is now a teacher. If you do not know, he's going to be at Locust Grove Schools teaching science. So be praying for him, because he doesn't necessarily know if he's good at science or not. So, but be in prayer for him. But also just be in prayer for our teachers and our kids. And as a burdened believer and a supplicating saint, I believe it's most important that we pray for our teachers, our support staff, and our students, our school boards, and our governments that could have some control over them. Now, our school boards and government continue to remove God more and more from our schools by pushing their agendas far beyond what practical living education for our kids is. So I remembered, and we were talking about this the other night, I remember shop class. I remember woodworking class. I remember home economics. I remember things that taught you practical things for your life, because we have to remember that only 20% maybe go to college, and the other 80% enter into the workforce. So they're either homemakers or they're workers. So we're not teaching practical skills at schools anymore. We're teaching all these other things that need to prepare them for big things. In some cases, a lot of our students aren't even going on to those big things. They're getting jobs, and they're living lives, and they're having kids, and they're doing all those things instead of going to college and starting those kind of careers. So we need to be in prayer for those. And the only God that most kids will ever see are in the lives of our teachers, the lives of our students and our support staffs that are in Christ. That may be the only God that they ever really get to see. And it's our responsibility as a church to be praying for them, because God has placed them in one of the biggest mission fields, I believe, that there is. Our schools, are our biggest mission field. And as Christians, we're told to go and make disciples. And now our teachers, I'm going to talk to you for just a second. And I'm not telling you to go out there and preach from your desk and lose your job. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm telling you that you've got an obligation to God and God alone first, and an obligation to your job. And whenever the opportunity presents itself for you to be a shining light to the children there at the school, then you could be that. And even not just the children, but the other teachers as well. So you're able to have conversations with kids that many of us never will be able to have. Our teachers spend more time with their kids than we do, and they are our biggest role models. And a lot of our kids really look up to our teachers. And I'm sure that you can sit here right now tonight and remember one teacher that made an impact in your life. I can remember several teachers that had an impact in my life. One of them was Mr. Solomon, and his impact was with a board about this long. But he was my tennis coach, and I still remember him. And I got an opportunity to pay him back one year while I was patrolling Grand Lake, and he was doing some things wrong on a Sea-Doo, and I had to stop him. And I didn't write him a ticket, as when I messed up in his class, he gave me swats. He had a rule in his class that when you shot at the wastebasket and you missed it, you got a swat. One day in the class, a young man, he took his shot at the trash can and realized that it was not going to quite make it, and it bounced on the rim. And so he leapt from this desk and he dove and reached and flipped the piece of paper and landed in the trash can. And it was one of the neatest things we'd ever seen, because he didn't get swats. But if you shot at the trash can, you was likely to get a swat. So there's those teachers that we remember and we respect. And we look up to those teachers. So we need to be praying for our teachers who are in Christ, especially the ones who are here at our church. And we're going to have an opportunity to pray over those teachers and these students tonight. Because I believe our students are also great reflectors of the gospel. We've been doing some discipleship here at the church with the three circles. And then if you've seen any of the videos that we'd posted online where we was at Branson, we was actually sharing the gospel with people. So these kids are being emboldened every day to share the gospel. So the three circles will probably get shared at a lot of schools this year by our kids. Now, we need our teachers to be godly examples. And I told some of the teachers at Salina School here a while back that I was praying for them to be good Christian influences on our kids, and that they would lead by a godly example, because that's what we need our teachers that are in Christ to do. Not to shy away from the fact that they're not supposed to be sharing the gospel there, but they can be a light in a dark world and show a little bit. Because sometimes a kid will ask you a question, and I believe you're allowed to answer those questions. I've talked with Kayla, who was a teacher, who's our secretary now, and Don both. How do y'all handle that? What do y'all do? Are y'all able to share the gospel at school? And they said, we can have those conversations when they ask us the questions. Or when a kid might say something in class, they're able maybe to expound on it just a little bit without pushing over that border, which would get them into trouble. And that's a good thing, because we know we can't have those spiritual conversations unless somebody is led by the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit is dealing with that person. Scripture tells us that no one comes to Jesus unless they're drawn by the Father. So when they're asking those kind of questions, and that's a good thing for all of us. When people ask you spiritual questions, you need to be alert to that fact. Because when they're asking you about God and they're asking you about things, that's an open door for you to share the gospel with them. When they're having those conversations with you about God and those kind of things, then you can start sharing who Jesus is and start giving them those words of encouragement of what Christ has done on the cross for them, what he done in raising from the dead for them. And maybe it will lead to that gospel conversation and that salvation conversation. Now, I went and I've done a little bit of research today. Childhood is when most people find Jesus. That's why it's important that the gospel be shared in our schools. That's why it's important for our teachers to be lights, and that's important for our kids to as well to be lights. So kids, I'm talking to you just as much as I'm talking to the teachers and to the adults in this room. We've got to be ready to share the gospel with those. Childhood conversation is the normal way people come to Christ. No matter who does the surveys, one fact is overwhelming. Once a person reaches adulthood, accepting Christ becomes increasingly rare. We reach our kids when they're young. Evangelism is most effective in childhood and teenage years. Two-thirds of Christians, this survey that I'm getting ready to share with you, was actually those who were asked, they had accepted Christ already. So these are Christians who are actually in ministry. And this is what they said. Two-thirds of Christians come to faith before the age of 18. 43% come to Christ before age 12. And then less than a quarter of the current believers came to Christ after the age of 21. This type of data has been confirmed time and time again. Research described childhood as a life stage when people are most open to the gospel. So here's what was found when they asked, was this right here. At what age did you accept Christ? 15% at age 6 or younger. 32% at the ages of 7 to 11. 36.8% from the ages of 12 to 19. Age 20 to 29 only makes up 11% of that graphic. And then after age 30, only 4% make up that graph. So it's important that we are evangelizing to our kids. One comment that I read today was the fact that our most important evangelism done in the church is to our children. The most important work we can do is to our children. Now, these were ministry kids that were, or ministry adults that were saved as they were kids. So it's important that we do our biggest evangelism right here in the church. And like I said, the biggest mission field is really our schools. It really is our schools. If we want to reach people for Christ, that is a battleground to go and do battle at. Now, most people come to Christ when they are young. That first survey is different from the Barna Group study and some of the other studies that I looked at. And they asked they didn't ask the groups that were active in ministry at churches. They asked a broad audience and who claimed to know Christ, regardless of the church attendance or any other factor, was factored into this study. And as a result, a very close margin within the errors to the similar question, and only a quarter of those, it says, only a quarter of all believers are converted after the age of 21. A quarter of all believers are converted after the age of 21. By this measure, adult conversation is rare. It's hard to have those adult conversations, and everybody in this room knows exactly what I'm talking about, because you've been in a situation where you know you probably should have shared the gospel, and you didn't do it. Had the opportunity in front of you, and knew after you walked away that you'd missed your opportunity. So the adult conversation is rare. But it's pretty easy to talk to kids. It's pretty easy to visit with kids. And we could spend hours debating the reasons why, but we can't miss the simple truth. The normal way people come to Jesus is when they're young. Children need to hear the gospel and be challenged to respond with a faith decision for Christ. We need to be challenging our teachers and our kids here at the church. We need to be challenging them to go out and share that gospel out there in that battlefield, that big mission field that is our school. It's important for our Sunday school teachers and our Wednesday night teachers to be instilling in our children that we need to be sharing the gospel. And the best place for them to do it is at school. You know, I look at our Wednesday night teachers and our Sunday school teachers that are here today, and I think, man, if we just can focus on getting kids to help evangelize. Because a kid can go into his school and do anything that he wants to do. He can evangelize any way he wants to evangelize. They won't hold him at bay like they would hold a teacher. So they're able to do that. So it's our job, it's important here at the church, to educate and give our kids the tools, like the three circles, to use at school. Now, I don't know if anyone's seen the news this morning, but it was our famous Loudoun County Public Schools. It's the richest school district in the United States, in Virginia. A teacher in Virginia there resigned in front of her school board Tuesday night. She stated in a defiant and emotional speech, she refused to continue pushing their highly politicized agenda. And this is what she said. Teacher Laura Moore said this during the public comment period of the board meeting. Within the last year, I was told in one of my so-called equality training meetings that white Christian, able-bodied females currently have the power in our schools, and this has to change. I don't know if that's a true statement or not. Jennifer, could you expound on that? Is that a true statement? Do you have the power in your school right now? Probably not. I don't know that. She resigned, and I don't know that that was the best move to make because she still had a mission field there in front of her. But she obviously is standing for what she believed. But I find that surprising that that's what they think has control of our schools. If that were true, I think we'd have more Christians coming out of the schools than what we do now. She clearly made a point, though, to them that they no longer valued her as a teacher and employee of the county. And this is big news. It was on Fox News. If you watched the news this morning, you've probably seen this news bit. And there's a lot more that went on there. But she went on to say, so since my contract outlines the powers that you have over me, over my employment in Loudoun County Schools, I thought it necessary to resign in front of you. She took a stand for Christ, I believe. Tonight, I know we need to be praying for our teachers and our children, our staff, support staff workers in our schools, because we are a problem people, just as Rob said in his sermon. And we need to be burdened believers and supplicating saints who are praying for our kids and our teachers and our support staff, not just tonight, but on a daily basis. Because I really truly believe their mission field is huge. It's big. And if you want to see persecution, they're probably going to get it there more than they're going to get it anywhere else. They're going to get it right there in their school. And like I said, we have another urgent problem tonight as well. And it's called the new Delta variant of COVID. It seems to be spreading through our church. We've got several church members with it. I've already talked to you about that. And no matter what side of the debate you're on, whether to be vaccinated, whether or not to be vaccinated, whether you should wear a mask, whether you should not wear a mask. Guys, COVID's real, and people are getting sick from it. Whether it's politicized or not, we need to be praying that God take control of it and handle it, because he's a God who can take control and handle it. And we need to be praying. We need to confess our trespasses to one another, as the scripture says, and pray for one another that you may be healed. And it goes on to say in James 5:16 that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So we need to pray, not just for these who are sick, but for our teachers, for our kids. Like I said, COVID's real. And it's more likely going to be here till the earth is gone. Probably will be. As always, our best defense is to turn to the Lord and to pray. And that's where I'm going to stop tonight, because I want us to take some time. If our teachers are willing, if our kids are willing, I want to gather up around them. If you're not, I understand, because we got this whole COVID deal going on, and it's very understandable. But we want an opportunity to pray for you. If y'all would, if you at the least just come up here and sit on the front row, so we can have an opportunity just to gather up in somewhat of a circle around you. We won't touch you. We won't lay hands on you. But I want our kids to come and support staff. Laura, you come. I don't know that we have any other teachers here tonight. But I want our kids to come up here. Those who are Christians and know what sharing the gospel is, I want y'all to come tonight, because we want to pray over you as well. And I want us to remember, we need to remember all of those who are sick tonight. We need to be praying for Donna, for sure. We need to be praying for Rob, but he probably won't go get tested. I'm just guessing, but and he's probably got it, because he's got a cough and a sore throat. So, and like I said, I just found out that Tony Carter also has it. So it's a possibility that this thing's probably going to run rampant around here for a while. So we're not going to be discounting anybody if they don't come to church. If they don't, we're going to actually fire up the live streaming again so that the services will be online, because we know that this is probably going to get ugly for a little while. So don't feel guilty for not coming to church because of what's going on. But remember to be praying for everyone who's sick and praying for everything that's going on. So if y'all would tonight, let's just gather up around these folks. And I'm going to ask several of our elders and our men to pray over our teachers and remember those that have COVID.